Because over the years, I will say, because we've been on the budgets and we also have been very tight on space. So we have tried quite a plethora of home fitness equipment. And I feel like we've narrowed in on those items that we think are not only really effective and very versatile, but are also worth, maybe they're a little bit more expensive than what you can go to Target to find. But we've found some great brands and we've found just some great items. So we're excited to share and we'll kind of do a comparison a little bit afterwards and see based off of what popular, articles and media are sharing, how our recommendations stack up.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a very, I would say, informative episode today because I've been running into lots of people, especially over the last few months, that have been wanting to know what is the ideal at-home workout equipment, or what should they buy for their at-home workouts, because a lot of people are forced to work out at home. So we're going to give you our basically list of items you should have for your home workouts.
Yeah, this is like a very top of mind, frequently asked question sort of episode. So if you, like many others, have been curious about stocking your own home gym, this is the episode for you.
That's right. So before we jump into that, guys, we want to thank you guys for listening. And thanks for sharing the podcast with a friend. We can see that you're doing via the download numbers going up each week. So thank you and keep on doing what you're doing. And don't forget to leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts or the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page when you get a chance. So training recaps. We've got I think essentially a training recap that's involved something that seems like everybody can do it. Everybody has done it, I'm sure. But it is definitely a lot of training involved in it, a lot of physical activity involved.
It's like a marathon. I feel like we should have been training for this particular event.
Well, I think we were. I mean, staying physically active gave us the ability to do this.
I mean, here we are. We're not spring chickens anymore. Mm-mm. And we actually packed and moved and unpacked our entire house in, well, I mean, we didn't pack everything all in one day. We probably packed it over several days, but we had like a marathon pack, move, unpack. Yes. To the point where we were essentially on our feet doing a million squats for about 4 days. And one of my feet is actually still hurting from it. And this is, we've been in much more moderate settling mode now for a bit. And It's still affected me, like, a lot.
Yeah, I mean the major stuff started on a Friday night, and, you know, we loaded the big stuff into our U-Haul, because, like Shannon said, we decided to do it all pretty much ourselves. So the major things, moved it, especially bedding and sofas and dressers and things of that nature. So moved that into our new house so we would have somewhere to sleep on the first night in our new house. Then proceeded to go back the next day to get everything else, load that into the truck,
and so many boxes. Boxes, tons of bags. I mean, all of the stuff that was in our shed, all of the stuff that, like, the knickknack, like, kind of stuff that just had to go into boxes and, like, get labeled miscellaneous. And then we had to clean our old house.
Yeah.
And patch walls and paint walls.
Now, I think if we had to say which item was the heaviest, or items were, I would say, like, kind of like packed the most bang for your buck, if you will, what would it be?
What do you mean packed the most bang for my buck?
Basically, what was the heaviest item in the smallest package that we had to move?
The heaviest item in the smallest package?
I think you should be know where I'm going with this. It's one of the few things that are still in boxes right now.
Oh, yes, there are. We only have, now this is not counting all the things we have in storage, but we have about 10 boxes packed with books. And I am not kidding when I say, like, you lift one of these boxes, and it's a heft. I mean, how much do you think one of those boxes weighs? Because let's be honest, I do not buy light paperback books. Yeah. Most of these are hardcovers.
Yeah, I would say the average 40 pounds would probably be a good place to start.
And because we were in a rush and, you know, didn't want to take anything slow, we stacked them. So most of them were moved in pairs, which is about 80 pounds, 60 to 80 pounds.
Yeah, you decided to do that.
I decided to do that because they are small, but they are like little bricks. And I was just down. I was basically like thinking home sprint. And I did so many squats. But yeah. I will say, I'm really proud. I didn't strain my back.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I used all legs. I did it all with like deep squats.
Yeah,
and it was totally worth it because my back, even though it was tired, I did not have any back injuries.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think both of us used very good form. So like I said, my back was
very
tired.
Very good form.
My back was tired, but it wasn't, like I said, no strain.
Can you see Nick over there like saying, yep, good squat. All right, straighten your back, chin up.
Yeah, I was worried because I think for some reason, in the middle of last week, I strained my upper back or something like that. Just sadly saying I did a push-up and strained my upper back.
Just one of those stupid things.
Well, yeah, exactly right. I was messing around with some of my
centimeter the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then luckily I thought I was going to suffer from it during the move. But I felt pretty good. So, like I said, besides, I think the thing that hurt on me the most, my feet were dead. You know, I don't think I got anything like you got with a plantar fasciitis or whatever strange arch. And then, but my hands were killing me.
My hands felt like someone's basically rubbed three layers of skin off.
So it was
what it felt like.
I said, I'm glad I've been working on my grip strength, so I know it served me, but my hands were just fatigued like hell. But
yeah, and also we could learn a few things from like professional movers. They usually wear gloves. They usually use, like, you know, trunk support. Yeah. Probably something we should do. At the end of all of this, what we realized...
What was the real thing we learned?
Well, that I don't want to do this again.
That was the real thing we learned. That this was the first, but this was our last time we're
going to
be moving.
This was the last time. Like, I actually have found a love of packing, a love of unpacking, like, organizing things. I can totally get down with that. I love it. The moving of all the stuff, because now I remember when we moved apartment to apartment or apartment, even apartment to house, it was not bad because we had a fraction of the stuff. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, over the years, we've invested a little bit more into heavier, more substantial furniture. Now, granted, I still have some key IKEA pieces, like our couch that is going to go get trashed at some point later this month, but there are still, like, some of Ella's furniture, our dining room table, our bed. Like, these are things that are just heavier now. And so we have more substantial stuff, and we have more of it, and my books have doubled since the last time we probably moved. So, yeah, it is not worth the brutality on your body, especially when you do it with just a couple people.
Yeah.
If you have a giant family, that will help. I know we've seen, like, at our storage unit, we've seen, like, parties of people.
Yeah.
Like, rallying together to move a bunch of stuff. That was not us.
No, no, like I said.
We gave Ella to the capable hands of my parents, and the dog also went, but the cat was with us.
Cat supervised.
Thank you. The cat supervised everything, and we did it just the two of us, and that was, it was brutal.
Yeah, like I said, important lesson learned first and last time.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we do move again, like you said, we can pack and pay somebody to move. And that will happen.
Yep.
So, but in addition, we did get a couple workouts in at the new house.
Yes.
I know I got a Peloton and a kettlebell workout, and you got a
I did a HIIT workout, and I did a little bit of yoga.
There we go. So, you know, we got our workout room, and it's, I think it's, like I said, it seems to be working out, even though it is close proximity to Elle's room.
But yeah.
I think it is going to work out nicely.
Yeah, it's our office doubles as a workout space. So we've got pretty much everything we need and a good amount of space to move around so we can both still get in there. I think if we had to, we could also work out in the living room. And then once we do get our back porch screened in, that will also make a really good workout space for like a HIIT workout.
Yep.
Because once you get rid of the bug situation, you can put on a light,
yep,
go to town out there. You can jump around, jump around, and it would be fine.
Yeah, I agree. So that's exciting whenever we do that, get those all completed. So, but yeah, now, kind of the things we've already mentioned, some of the pieces that we were able to use in our training at home and in our new workout spaces, we're going to talk to or let you guys know what you maybe should invest in for your home workouts.
Yeah, because over the years, I will say, because we've been on the budgets and we also have been very tight on space, so we have tried quite a plethora of home fitness equipment. And I feel like we've narrowed in on those items that we think are not only really effective and very versatile, but are also worth, you know, maybe they're a little bit more expensive than like, you know, what you can go to Target to find. But we've found some great brands and we've found just some great items. So we're excited to share, and we'll kind of do a comparison a little bit afterwards and see, based off of what popular, you know, articles and media are sharing, how our recommendations stack up.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to trade off, or did you want to go first about, or just rapid fire?
We can switch back and forth.
All right. So I'm going to throw myself in first and go first, because I think the number one thing you should get is a good mat, a good workout mat.
Yeah.
And I am very biased because I feel like I have a really awesome one, and I take it with me, and I train clients on it. It's essentially a roll-up wrestling mat. So I know wrestling mat, people don't really probably know what I'm, but it's basically almost a 3/4 inch foam.
Is that something you can throw into like on your bag?
No,
like on your back.
It is not. But like I said, it is for if you're looking for, especially if you have it at home, you can store it in
for an at-home gym. Yes. Yeah, if you've got some space.
Absolutely. All right. So like I said, it's 3/4 inch or 3/4 inch. Yes, 3/4 inch foam underneath, and then it has a vinyl top on top of it. So it is very durable. It's very easy to clean. It would protect your floor. Obviously, if you live in an apartment, you probably still don't want to drop anything on it, but it would protect your floor from if you were using weights too. So I highly recommend it. I got it from AK Athletics. I looked recently. You can get one for about $200. So
yeah,
it's a little bit pricey. Obviously, there's other yoga mats out there, or mats in general.
Yeah, I would say like it's a great mat because I've been on it. We've used that over the years, mm-hmm. and there is nothing like you can have a freaking cement pad, and you put this on there, comfortable as a cloud. Yeah. You know, it's just so much more enjoyable than just a thin mat, but it is not exactly portable. Nick trucks it around because, mm-hmm. you know, he brings the gym to people's homes, yeah. but it is something that you would probably like if you do have a closet or you have an outdoor space that you want to use it. You can roll it up really easily and stick it in the corner,
yep.
but it is something that's a little bit bulkier. Yeah,
you're not going to take it to the park to do yoga, like no. Shannon said. That is very true. So you wouldn't strap it to your back if you're riding to a yoga session. So
yeah,
fortunately, you could do yoga in the park nowadays, but probably yoga studios not. But like you said, if for an at home, I think it's a good investment. But there are other options too out there. I think a good mat in general is very important with a little bit of padding too. Something that's just those thin little, almost remind me of like not coasters, but what are the pads you put in drawers so things don't slide around? Anti-slip pads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they're so cheap, I just don't think they're worth it. They're essentially, just protect you from laying on the ground.
It's better than nothing. I will say that.
True.
Like, you can get some of them, like the Gaia yoga mats. Mm-hmm. And my recommendation was actually going to be a really good quality yoga mat. So there are several out there. There's a cringe factor to it for people who maybe you don't practice yoga a lot. You might cringe at the almost, they go like around $100, a really mm-hmm. good yoga mat. But a really good yoga mat is also, it makes a world of difference. And not just with yoga. Like, it really does help. Again, having something, and we're talking home gym, so we're not talking about what's the best yoga mat for my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about for home, like getting something that's got a little bit of cushion on it, but that's also nice and sticky. But that's real nice and easy to clean up. I have a lot of qualms with Lululemon as a general company, manufacturer. We know they've had hiccups over the years, but they do have some really amazing yoga mats, mm-hmm. and they are still around that like 100, even a little above that price points. But you can get a beautiful yoga mat, like a Buick of a yoga mat, mm-hmm. as a Buick owner. it's not like a fancy, it's not like bells and whistles, it's not going to do the work for you, but it's just such a great foundation. And it's also an amazing mat to use for like your HIIT workouts. It gives you just that nice stick. I like to work out with bare feet mm-hmm. a lot of times. And using that, my feet stick. I don't have to worry about sliding around. It's just awesome. So, again, it's worth saving up. I know you can get a mat at Target for $25, $30. They're better than nothing. But what both Nick and I are saying is that your mat is your foundation, and mm-hmm. it really pays to get a good one.
Yep. So we said Lululemon, pants, and mat. Gotcha.
Not pants.
What? I've heard such good things.
Yeah.
Anywho, so the next thing, and I'm sure we've mentioned it on this podcast before, it's probably the one piece of equipment that I say is the most cost-effective piece of exercise equipment as far as basically cost-to-benefit analysis, and that is the jump rope.
Oh, yeah.
Jump rope, you can get a quality one for under $20 and essentially provides you with phenomenal workout cardio, strengthening, helps with mobility and dexterity in your feet and ankles. And it's just, it's simple. $20, you're that's a high-end one. You can get one for under $10 and have a quality one still.
Yeah, so don't give in to the Instagram ads for, like, the CrossFit ropes. Mm-hmm. Unless you are a serious jump roper. And I mean, I'm talking, you can do some like double unders without even blinking. Mm-hmm. If you even know what that is, then you probably are already pretty serious about jump ropes. And you likely already have a set of good jump ropes. But it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah, this is one of those ones you can go to a Target or a Walmart and buy what they offer there, because first you got to learn the jump rope,
and it's then not as then easy
you
as can you
advance
think.
In your jump rope repertoire as far as, you know, like you said, speed ropes and things like that, stuff with bearings and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's definitely my something that a must have piece of equipment at your home gym. What about you? You got anything else? You got a recommendation?
I do, and this is an item that I've tried a lot of inexpensive ways to replicate, but in terms of versatility, and especially if you don't have space for a lot, when I was in an apartment, it was just me. I didn't have space. I didn't want to tote around weights. I just wanted something that was going to deliver a really great upper body, because for women, I think, like, a lot of women get intimidated by weights, and also our upper body strength is just not usually where we focus a lot of energy. But this item delivers it all, and that is the dip station. So this is specifically like a standing dip station. There's a couple different variations. You can get one that's basically like a continuous flow of metal that's sort of like two humps that are really like rigid, that have a grip section on the top, and then the rest of it is the stability on the bottom. They also have some that look like H's, you know, like that sit on their sides, and you can separate them so that you can kind of decide like how far apart you want. There's a lot of different versions. I think I bought a $50 dip station. I think that's about how much it was. And I used that thing to death. And I did try everything. I tried like the pull-ups on the underside of the table. I tried, you know, a broom between two chairs. You know, anything to replicate kind of like a pull-up. The pull-ups were the best for me to get upper body strength and also work on grip. The dips were also great, but they, you know, that's like a totally different, they work completely different muscles. It's just such a versatile piece. And especially since they're making the kinds that you can essentially, you know, be two pieces and then stack over in a corner, it could be. I used to use mine as a drying rack. I mean, it was very versatile. It just sat in the corner of my living room and it was fantastic. It just did a lot for me and it didn't cost a lot of money. And actually, I think, was that one of the items that we put in storage? Because we just did not make the stager's cut. And it was one of the things that we either gave away or...
I think it's in storage.
We have it in storage. Freaking love that thing. Like, I still to this day, I'm like, oh, I have such warm feelings and I miss that thing. I would gladly work that back into my routine.
Yeah, and I remember, I mean, like, we could do kicks over top of it. You can a bunch of different things. So,
lots of stuff.
And like you said, it was just, you know, really just and versatile, you know. Like.
Yeah, and it teaches you grip strength, which there's not a whole lot. You know, I know you've talked about the importance of, like, hanging. Yes. And, like, how your pull-up bar, you know, used to do that a lot. Mm-hmm. You used to do that every day. I think that the dip station, it gives you that very important, strength building around grip, whether it's hanging or you're pushing off. It is uncomfortable at first. I'm not going to lie, because we just don't do it in our day-to-day lives, but that's why it's awesome, because it builds it, and it is not that much money. Like, I think I looked online, and the ones that are separated, like two separate pieces, you can get for like $85, or you buy the $50 one. I mean, it's a good deal. It's a great piece. It does amazing things. So yeah, that was one of mine.
Yeah, that's a good one. Definitely a good one. I think the next one I'm going to recommend is resistance bands. So there's a whole, like, that's kind of a whole category in itself. There's so many different types. The one thing I would recommend, first and foremost, are mini resistance bands. So these are mini, or they call them resistance loops. The best one I recommend, I've always used, I use at the gym, I use with my clients, I tell people to buy them, are Perform Better. You can go to performbetter.com. They have a little four pack of the basically different resistance. They have like an easy, a medium, hard, and extra hard. So those are like, that's, and you can get that variety pack for under $10. These are so versatile. You use them for, you can put them on your ankles, your arches, your knees, above your knees. You can use them for upper body exercises. I just started doing some basically lat pull downs with them around your wrist. So you can do them around your wrist. You can do, I mean, they're so versatile and there's so much stuff you can do with it. So, and like I said, for under $10, you get a pack of four of different resistance. It's like, once again, bang for your buck. These are really where it's at. These
and perform super better. Space saving.
Yeah, I mean, you
so
can
you
take
can
these.
You can travel with these.
You
bad
can
boys.
Travel with these, exactly. Take them anywhere you want. The mini bands from Perform Better. Now they have extra large mini bands, which is somewhat confusing, but because I fell victim to buying the extra large mini bands, but they're also good too. They're actually probably a little bit better for upper body movements too. So because they're a little bit wider and give you a little bit more slack. So I would definitely recommend getting maybe one of each of those color, which is probably right around. It's a little over $10. So
just over 10.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can get two sets for under $20 for both and have, you'd be set, honestly. Now there are other resistance bands. You can get some with handles and stuff like that. You can get the stuff that attach to a door or, that basically have a door attachment where you can put it inside the door, close the door and use it as almost like a cable machine. I do recommend those too, but you got to make sure you have a good door that closes. That won't pull open when you're doing a resistance band, because especially if you're doing a row and you're facing it and it snaps off, you definitely don't want that. So,
ouch.
Those are good to have, and then usually there's sets that are about $50 or so with varying resistance, and they have all the attachments. They have ankle attachments, they have the door attachment, and they have the handles that go with them. So, you know, you can find some good ones. You know, look on, I can't remember my brand, I think Black Mountain was one of the resistance band brands, but you know, they're definitely ones you can find online. I would avoid, and this is just I've had several people that have tried to buy resistance bands on Amazon over the last few months, and they've had essentially no luck. Basically, they ordered them, the company took their money, not Amazon, but whoever they bought them through, and they never got their product.
Ooh.
So, you know, basically, I don't know what it is, I don't know where, if it's coming from, if it just got lost in the shipping or what, but consistently, I mean, it was three people that ordered resistance bands and never got the product. Not because they bought them through Amazon. So, maybe deal with direct with another company, like through their website, if you want to do the resistance band. But I highly recommend Perform Better website for those mini bands. So that's definitely my next recommendation. Let's do one more each for our home gym recommendations.
All right. Well, this one might be on your list, but it is one of my favorites. It's the kettlebell.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, like, a 15 pound, a 10 to 15 pound. Like, if you can have, it's great to have a smaller one here and there, but like a 15 pound, I feel like is a really happy weight, because it's, you can do like a kettlebell swing with 15 pounder and have it still be impactful, but you can even use it in terms of single arm movements,
right?
Which I think are one of the beauties of a kettlebell. But it's such an awesome item, because you can lift it, you can swing it, you can press it. Like, the amounts of things you can do with this sucker are just endless, and you don't need that many. You can get two or three of them and feel like you've got a world of options. Mm-hmm. So they are probably among, like, and I wouldn't get like a crap one, you know, but you don't need to get the ones that are, what are like the gorilla face ones that are super expensive. You don't need to get those. You can get a decent kettlebell. Like, you can get them at Target. I'm pretty sure at one point I did get one in like a pinch, but getting like the solid, like, metal ones.
Yeah.
I actually have had better luck with those, because even though they're metal, they were like smoother. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah. I think some of the, like, the rubberized ones are a little bit, you know, I guess they're probably not the weights, like you said, it's not as consistent.
Yeah.
So it's
but the metal is like, it is, it, that feels good. It feels good in your hand, actually, surprisingly.
Yeah. And I would say if you can find them, definitely get it, because they are a hot commodity right now.
They
Any free weights is going to be a tough thing to come by nowadays.
Yep. But maybe look for some that are, people are giving away or that are selling online.
Yep. Craigslist. This is one of the good reasons to go to Craigslist, is for workout equipment nowadays. And like you said, Facebook Marketplace. I have seen some of that stuff. And there are some websites like Rogue Fitness, and every once in a while they'll have stuff available, and then, but it gets
bought up quick.
So
yeah,
if you're really in the market, you should be monitoring the website on a regular basis. So yeah, the kettlebell is great, like you said, and you can just have one piece and be very versatile. So you know, so that's a good recommendation.
Did I steal yours?
No. My last one, I'm trying to debate between these two, and this may be just like a personal.
I'm wondering if I know what it is, because I know one other that I almost did.
I'm gonna go with, and this is, I think, honestly, I think stick mobility is my recommendation, for a couple of reasons, because I think mobility is obviously something that some people neglect when it comes to their home workout. But it can also be used, sticks can also be used for strength training, for isometric strength training. And it's basically, anybody can benefit from it, you know, from the most conditioned person to the most deconditioned person. So you can build strength on both ends of the spectrum. And then also, you know, they're relatively, you know, like you said, they are, you know, you can have a 7-foot stick, so it takes up a little bit of space, but, you know, storing them under the bed or in a, or somewhere in a closet is possible. But also in regards to the fact that, they've kept up with demand now as far as when the quarantine happened. So they're having a less than a week turnaround of, you know, getting product to people.
That is impressive.
So it's like, yeah, it's very, they're very on top of things in regards to that. And I've had a client who bought sticks once quarantine happened. And, you know, they were having a problem with the website when they first ordered. So he had to call, and basically, you know, they apologized and took, you know, $50 off his order for the inconvenience, even though it was just they had a new website. It didn't launch correctly. So, but that's all, you know, that's months ago. So, but yeah, so I recommend it. I know I'm biased, but I think everybody, I think people can benefit from stretching mobility. And then you have the isometric strength benefits of it, which is, you know, is basically for anyone. It can be, you know, everyone can benefit from it. So it doesn't matter how conditioned or deconditioned.
Do you have a runner up? I have one runner up item that is like a quick mention.
Go for it.
The yoga blocks.
Yoga blocks. Yes. That is a good one.
Ridiculously versatile, and they are cheap, man. Yep.
That's good. Cause I have clients that I always, and that's probably not to give it away if any of my clients are listening, but we've talked about giving a little gift to some of my virtual training clients who've kind of stuck with me over the last few months due to the, you know, through the whole quarantine and shutting down of gyms. And that's one of the gifts I'm thinking about giving them, because that's, like you said, and it's very beneficial.
And, they're so and I always, handy.
I always forget which of my clients who I work with virtually have them and don't. So I always ask, "Do you have a yoga block?" And he's like, "No." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, sorry."
So you're like, sorry. "You need a yoga block."
Now I know I gotta send it to you. So, but yeah, so yeah, that was a that's a few pieces, and of course we could go on. I know we can go on in hours for this, but we did check out Rolling Stone put out a article basically during the whole quarantine time about your some must-have exercise equipment. A few ones we've already mentioned.
What did they have?
They put this out March of this year, March 23rd, 2020. So right in the smack dab middle of the whole stay at home stuff, especially at least for around here. You know, they have free weights, obviously, like we said, you know, tough commodity right now, but definitely a good benefit to have. Number two, yoga mat. So we mentioned the mats. Jump rope, number three, boom.
Hello.
We're all thinking in thinking
pretty similar colors.
Four, rowing machine. Now, obviously, this is apparently for people who have unlimited budget.
And rowing space.
Rowing machine, great piece of, I think probably the number one cardio machine, in my opinion, is a rowing machine.
I like rowing machines.
So they're really, they are worth it if you can. Concept two, guys, that they're the best out there. Yes, there's a lot. There's a lot more in the market, and they're probably some comparable ones. But when the brand that's stood the test of time is Concept Two, five stationary bike, and obviously we are lucky enough to have the Peloton. So they've got some other generic stationary bike that doesn't even stand a. Stand
even,
a chance. Number six, which is another one that I figured out about, but I'm a huge fan of, the suspension trainer. So the TRX system. Definitely a good piece of exercise equipment that you can have. Pretty versatile. They have outdoor versions that you can, you know, attach to a stationary object. They have some that you can throw over a door. Once again, you got to have a pretty solid door to make sure they can support your weight. Obviously, be ideal as if you basically had a anchor into some sort of, you know, concrete wall and or 2x4. But yes, TRX, great, great piece of exercise equipment. Seven, a smart treadmill. Oh, okay. Just, you know, your home
because
equipment.
Because when you're home, you can't go run outside.
Exactly, you know. Number eight, a balance board. No, that's not, you know, a terrible idea. Those are pretty good, like a Bosu ball, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, a Bosu ball I'd maybe get, but that thing, that looks just expensive.
Yeah, balance and stability, definitely a kind of an underrated part of, especially like a, oh gosh, what have I done? I hit an ad. Oh, no. Oh, no. All right, calm down.
You're going to get weird number ads
nine,
now.
This is a good call, medicine ball.
True.
Definitely a good call, because they're probably a little bit more easy to get nowadays than the kettlebell and things like that.
Yeah.
Some of them have handles. Obviously, you can't do the same thing as a kettlebell, but definitely provides you with weight and resistance. I would recommend, especially if you don't have a concrete wall, get what they call slam balls.
Oh, I love
those. Or they call
them
dead weight balls, too. Basically, it's more like sand
so
in there.
So satisfying.
And you slam it, and basically, you won't bounce up and hit you in the face.
Yeah.
Do not try to slam a medicine ball. I repeat, don't slam a medicine ball. It will bounce and hit you in the face.
Yeah.
I say that from experience.
Think hard basketball with weight.
Yeah. 10, a massage roller or foam roller. I think this is that's a pretty decent recommendation. I think if you know how to use a massage roller, I think it's definitely could be beneficial to you. The problem is that, you know, it's not everybody knows how to use them. You know, obviously, if it massages out a knot, feels good, good on you. But you basically, you want to make sure that sometimes a lot of people think you need to you can use them to, you know, alleviate a muscle strain, which is not always the case. So, you know, if you want to get a little massage knot out, go for it. I'd say that's probably a good idea. All right.
Well, it's not a bad list. It's just like there's a few in there that are a little questionable.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe there was just some motivation of let's stick this four-digit costing item in here to bring up the curve on this, this cost list.
All right, so there we got our recommendations. Apparently, Rolling Stones recommendations. Which, when you think about fitness, you think Rolling Stones.
Right? I know, definitely.
But we have one more thing we want to share with it.
We have our special section. What's got us pumped?
Yeah. So what about, I think last time you went first.
Did I?
I think so.
Okay. So your finger is real close to my face right now.
I'm
going
to go first this time.
Okay.
So what I'm loving is, I shouldn't call them farm fresh eggs. I guess they're backyard fresh eggs. So we were fortunate enough, like we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, we moved into a new house and we met our new neighbors and they happen to have chickens.
Yes, which means we get woke by the crowing of a rooster. Yes. And actually, it's much better than it sounds.
Yeah, it's actually not, it's kind of like...
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's almost like it's very, not homely, but it's like, you know, a kind of...
It's comforting.
Yeah, nostalgic.
Almost, yeah, it is.
Even though I don't think either of us were woken up by our roosters when we were little.
I wasn't, no.
But there's something kind of, you know, quaint about it, I guess.
Well, the funny thing is that we don't live in the country.
Yeah.
We live in like an urban. Yeah. Yeah, it's not even like a suburb. Right, it's like urban.
Right. Yeah,
true. Part of the city. Yeah. So it's very common down here.
Mm. So yes, we were fortunate to move into next to somebody who has chickens. We got to go
visit
them.
You want chickens.
Yeah, I want chickens. And this is meant to be. Okay. Everything is coming together. So, Ella and I visited the chickens last week, and our neighbors gave us four eggs, and so we took them home, and we made, you know, one of your delicious Dutch babies out of it.
Yep.
Ella broke one of them, we're able to use most of them.
She got very upset, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's one of those things, you know, I wrote articles about, you know, back when I used to blog about, you know, the difference between farm eggs and kind of factory eggs and things like that. And there are some nutritional differences, mostly in the micronutrients. But I think it's more of the idea of kind of producing your own, you know, and something about like not having to rely on the food system, the industrial food system. And, you know, obviously we don't have chickens yet, but it's something I think that's made even more and more possible. The fact that we have more space now, we have
neighbors who know what they're doing.
Neighbors that know what they're doing, who said they're getting a new chicken coop and getting rid of their chicken coop. It's all meant to be. So, but I mean, the thing I'm loving is mainly the kind of self-sustaining, the ability to be sustainable, self-sustainable, you know, and, you know, producing your own food and, you know, taking care of chickens to produce eggs for you, for your family to eat is something that's very attractive to me.
Well, so. And I will say from a taste side, like the fresh eggs are so vastly different than the like commercial farmed eggs. Like the yolks, it's tough to get an orange yolk.
Right.
Yellow, sure, everybody can get a yellow, but not orange. So I think that's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't want the responsibility of chickens.
That's all right. That's all right.
You want to take it on.
I do.
Then that's gonna be your literally your pet project.
Hey. Yes. Go for it.
So what's got me pumped is a little guy on Instagram. I know this is going in a weird direction. You're like, what are you talking about? How can Instagram be anything but, you know, a time suck of my life? Well, I'm a big believer that digital can be for good. And this guy is one of them. It is the Tiny Chef Show. And if you haven't discovered this handle yet, I highly suggest it because it's this little stop animation. And I know that the person who like came up with this concept used to work for, I believe, Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. and like their production, and they're very talented, but they essentially found this little green figure and they brought him to life, and he now has a cooking, like he loves to cook. He's vegan. And he's just this little ray of sunshine, this tiny little green ray of sunshine. Mm-hmm. And he's living in our world, you know, he's living the life right now in terms of the like pandemic life. But he's very positive. He has a funny little accent. He's all about like farming, just like what you're talking about, like growing his own food. Mm-hmm. He loves cooking in, you know, the kitchen whenever he can. He loves like spending time with his friends, cleaning up nature, walking outside. I mean, he just is such a wonderful little positive influence. He does have songs that he sings. He loves to sing, and he will frequently sing while he does his work. This is him. He's painting. So I will say his accent is something to get used to. Yes, it is. It may sound silly, but it's one of those things. All right, it sounds silly. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that can bring you some joy, some entertainment, and just some positivity. Like the days when, like, you know, you just need a moment to clear your head. You're tired of seeing all the same stupid crap on Instagram. Ella will frequently ask for Tiny Chef. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time where she didn't want to watch anything but Tiny Chef on Instagram. And he still is like one of my favorites. And this week he's put out some new stuff. I like what he's doing. He's always got a little pet project going. He always inspires me to like, you know, think about doing simple things. He's not doing complicated things. He's kind of making the best of his situation. So take a look at it. It's my recommendation for the week. It doesn't have to be crazy. It's just something to kind of lift your mental kind of positivity.
Yeah.
So yours, probably everybody can get. Mine, very simple. And yes, maybe a little bit silly, but we need some of that.
I think the over, maybe the theme of yours is that, like you said in the beginning, you can find there is a lot, there is good on social media.
There is.
You know, and you can find it, and you know, that maybe you'd spend more time, if you are going to spend time on social media, looking for the good stuff opposed to the infuriating stuff.
Well, that's what I think it comes down to. You have to find the good stuff. This is one of those accounts that he's also on TikTok. Just going to throw that out there. It's great. But yeah, I just think that you need to just focus on the things that bring you kind of, you need to do a little bit of the, what's the lady that sparks a bit of joy? She has her own Netflix show now.
Oprah?
No. Oh. Oh my gosh, this is going to drive me bonkers. You know who I'm talking about. I know who I'm talking
Spark
about.
A bit of joy.
Yeah, she's the tiny, petite little woman who, like, swept. So she has books about, like,
Dr. Ruth.
Cleaning out your house, and you only keep those things. Like, no, I learned the folding technique.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking
about. I think it's, like, Marie Kondo. Or
isn't that the lady that makes the pot pies?
No.
That's Marie Callender.
Sorry. Yeah. I forgot her name. I know her name.
All right, well, maybe you can save that for the next, what's got those pumps.
But it's the same thing. It's the same idea. Focus on the things that spark joy.
All right. That's a great note to go out on. Focus on things that spark joy. All right. So thanks, guys, again for listening this week. Let us know if you guys invested in any of those at-home equipment that we recommended, or if you already have them.
Yeah, and if there's anything else that you really feel is a great essential for your home gym,
good call.
Let us know.
That's right. You got anything else for them this evening?
No, sir.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.